Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Richard Porter.
I'm Johnny Smith.
And this is Smith and Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars and many other things.
I keep getting invited for threesomes and sometimes foursomes with Chris Harris.
What?
I kid you not. It happens on Instagram on a daily basis. In fact, it happens multiple times on Instagram. Me, Chris Harris, and a whole cluster of sex bots. They are constantly, hounding me. But what's amazing is, you know, you can tell they're not real people. They're just sort of like AI sex pests. But
yes,
it's always loads of made up names and, like, I don't know, bananas with like squirting water coming out the end emojis. And then my name,
yes.
and I'm tagged in on it. And the only other person is Chris Harris.
So these are sex bots, but with a thing for car journalists.
Well, this is, I keep meaning to message Chris and go, Chris, do you get these as well, or is it just me? Because I don't want you to think that I've hooked you into this. I haven't, like, grabbed you by the scruff of the neck going, come on, you're coming into the strip club with me.
What, are you a bit worried that he thinks that this is you, like, enthusiastically endorsing it with your sex bot mates? Like,
yeah.
Come on, we need someone else. Oh, I'll tell you what, I know who'd be up for this. Do you know Chris Harris? Off Chris Harris on Cars and Top Gear and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, him. Yeah. And I'll be like, yeah, come on, Chris. It's warm in there. I'll be warm. Take your gilet off. You're not going to need that. Come on. In you come.
This this squirting aubergine emoji made up woman really wants to know about the transient handling characteristics of the BMW M2 before we do some mucky stuff.
Honestly, but it's always group sex invites, but with Chris Harris.
Interesting.
Yeah.
With Chris Harris.
just so you know, it hasn't and isn't going to happen, and it's not real. But I have to clear all that spam out, and it takes a lot of energy. So
I don't go on Instagram very much, and the last time I looked in my inbox, I get confused as well by the Instagram inbox system, because you've got different folders, haven't you? And I don't ever quite know.
Yeah, you get tagged
what
into
I'm supposed
stuff,
to be doing
and then you
it.
Get actually yeah. messaged.
The requests one is the sort of free for all, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's where I have noticed a few sort of bots getting in there recently. But,
loads, just so many.
Well, good.
So there's that.
I mean, speaking of Chris Harris, I've just finished reading his book. I'm always plugging my books, but I'll plug his for a change. I really enjoyed it. It's got a very funny bit about how his dad used to get into written disputes, or at least he would write sternly worded letters to big companies to express his displeasure about stuff.
Yeah.
And Chris only discovered some of this when his dad died, and he was going through his papers and found the bit that made me laugh was that he'd had quite a robust back and forth with Campbell's Soup. those were the days when you'd write a letter.
Yeah,
I can't believe, I don't even know, he doesn't say what it was about. I think he wrote to the people who make Club Biscuits.
Oh,
big
yeah.
Club Biscuit enthusiast. In fact, I was messaging with Monkey this week.
McVitie's own club?
I think it was Jacobs, isn't it?
Oh,
Jacobs
make
the club?
Yeah.
Maybe they've been taken over by McVitie's.
Yeah.
I was messaging with Monkey this week, and I said I enjoyed your book, and I liked the bit about Campbell's Soup, and then we started talking about Club Biscuits, and this led me to go out and buy some Club Biscuits.
I love clubs.
Because I suddenly had a massive... They're great.
Yeah.
I do think they have thinned the chocolate on the sides, though.
Oh, see, that's a shame.
I'm sure.
Because that was the main draw for me.
Well, you used to gnaw it off, didn't you?
Yeah.
You could just nibble it off. And it feels like it's now, it's so thin, it doesn't come off in a sort of satisfying sheet.
Do you
it
know
just
what?
Breaks off in bits.
If the Club Biscuit was in car form, I think I know what car it would be.
Oh.
I think it would be a Toyota IQ. because the thing about the IQ is it always feels very, very, it feels like a very solid sugar lump of a car for its dimensions. And I've always said the steering on that car is spookily good, like spookily charismatic and communicative for a car that's probably not really designed for owners that give a toss about stuff like that. And I feel like you get a lot of communication when you're carefully dissecting a club biscuit. Bearing in mind, I haven't eaten a club since the invention of the internet, I don't think.
Well, I can recommend
I can't really remember.
But yeah, I was talking to Monkey about club biscuits, and I was like, screw it, I've got a horrible craving for a club biscuit now. So I had to pop out and get a couple of things, and I bought a sleeve of clubs. Mint. They had orange or mint in the supermarket. I went mint.
Do you know what? They're both really good. Orange, I have a distinct memory of orange ones. Used to get them when I used to help muck out the horse stables near me. The last sort of 2 years of primary school, I get dropped off there by a mate's mum who had an Alfa Sud with a Robasto sunroof. And she always used to say, take a snack in case you get hungry. And she always used to reach down, and she had always had a pack of orange clubs, always. So if I eat an orange club now, I close my eyes and I can disappear back into the velour seated Alfa Sud with the Webasto.
Can you hear a rasping exhaust note as you eat your orange club?
Yeah, and on a summer's day with the Webasto back, oh, fantastic.
Oh
yeah, well, dirty Webasto.
I apologise because it turns out the club biscuits are now made by McVitie's. They were, I think, Jacobs. But I just looked on the club website because I wanted to check.
They really are.
They've not deleted the fruit flavour.
Oh, I love the fruit.
It wasn't.
Was it the biscuit with the fruit?
Yeah, I like the fruit. Yeah. No, it's okay. Good news. Fruit club still exists. Mint, orange or fruit seem to be your mainstay flavours. There's also, now you see, look, they're mucking around here. There's something called Club Honeycomb Crunchies, but it's not a club biscuit. It's got like
That's a strip club.
You know...
That's got a stripper. That's a stripper name, that.
But then, confusingly, it's got Cake Crunchies written on the wrapper, and as a cutaway of what's inside on the front to show you. And it's like one of those vans with a sort of welded on high top. It's got an extra bit.
I love those. I love those vans with the extra high top.
Anyway,
well, I need to buy some clubs, but in the meantime, some serious news. I don't go on Facebook, okay? But it's been sent to me, and I'm just going to check their name. It's been sent to me via DM on Instagram by a chap called Charles Smith, who is a lovely guy, clearly a sweet, sweet guy, because those are two of my names. I'm Jonathan Charles Smith. So he sent me this. He went, you might be interested in this. A Nigel Mansell autographed can of mushroom soup. We talk about Mansell alarmingly frequently on Smith and Sniff.
Yeah,
but this is just all new. So I will share this link with the patrons. There is a photograph of a Heinz mushroom soup can, and it genuinely has Nigel Mansell's signature on it, and it's being sold for £5. I think. Shall I just buy it?
£5?
Shall I just... It's £5.
Yes.
Okay, I'll buy it now.
Is there any backstory to it, or is it simply presented as is?
I don't know. The chap selling it is in... Do you know what? He might be quite near you, Rich. Oh, no, he's in Essex. I thought it was Cheltenham, but it's Chelmsford. He's, he's called Joseph
Bell.
But it's
not like he's gone, I was in a Londis and Nigel Mansell came in to buy a sleeve of club biscuits and I just grabbed the first thing I could find and got him to sign it.
Do you know what? The person selling it is called Joseph Bell. Is it not Derek's, one of Derek's sons, is it? Derek's gone, I got Mansell pissed.
Nigel Mansell was round our house.
Just signed everything.
Yeah, just signed. He couldn't stop signing. It was insane.
He had he had four cans of Labatt's and he was just rolling around everywhere. And he just got his chubby marker out and just fucking autographed everything. He was autographing the wife's cupboards. She went ballistic. So he went, all right.
Yeah.
And just opened the cupboards and just started like signing all of it. Just signed all of the week's shopping.
He autographed one of the cats, and then I got fur on his pen, and that put a stop to his nonsense.
We got a lovely white leather sofa. He got the chubby Sharpie out and just did a big squiggle on it. honestly, you got to see this. I'm going to send it to you now so that you can see while we're chatting what on earth I am witnessing here, because I just don't understand. I don't understand what I need the context. I really need the context.
Would help.
I think we should buy it though.
So, because
should buy
Facebook it. Marketplace. Maybe it's not a signed Nigel Mansell can of mushroom soup. Maybe it's just an advert for a prostitute disguised as. See, look, I'm scrolling down, and it's just lots of pictures of. I mean, maybe these are really clothes for sale. I'm sorry, I've got distracted. I'm looking at the soup. Wow. It's a. The description says, lovely can of mushroom soup, signed by Nigel Mansell.
I mean, we need to, surely.
I mean, there's, why just... this is so confusing. Why?
I know.
Why is it? All right, Nigel, sign this, will you?
Yeah.
It's a can of soup, yeah, I know.
Do you know what, though? I bloody bet.
Have you not got a piece of paper? Yeah.
I bet Mansell is a club biscuit eater. I bet he really likes the club.
Do you think?
Yeah, I just got it. I bet he's got one in his breast pocket of his race jacket.
At all times.
He's just, when you need a little nibble. And because they're short wheelbase clubs, they can fit into loads of little orifices. I don't mean like that. I mean like pockets. So, where is this going? I was not expecting it to go.
I don't know. Well, I mean, yes, but I think you should buy that can of soup.
Mm. Okay, chap. And I then, will.
I mean, but then just don't do that. Thing where then one day there's absolutely nothing in the house and you're starving and you open the can of Mansell soup.
Because
I sort of feel
can
somehow
of Mansell
that reduces its worth.
Can of Mansell
empty
soup.
Empty can of mushroom soup. Mansell soup. Cream of Mansell soup.
Cream of Mansell.
No, we don't want that.
Well, look, why don't we talk about cars? I realised this week, it would have been a couple of weeks ago now, Genesis has pulled out of the UK market. It's caught infinity-itis.
What's the official story here, though? Is it they're not going to start selling some of the cars but sort of just submit their hind eyes?
Well, can I just put my two punts worth here? Every time I see a manufacturer setting up a sub-brand and sinking goodness only knows how much dollar into it, I just want to tell them, why don't you just focus on making the original thing better? Just stick with one thing. Let's not dilute your thoughts, dilute your energy. Just be better at being Citroën. Drop kick DS into the bin. Nobody gives a shit and you haven't done it right. But Citroën's fantastic and it can come up with some really, really good, iconic, memorable, cheerful cars. So just stop, DS is probably circling the drain anyway, but just, like, crack on, you know, with Citroën, please.
Well, I suppose they're trying to bust through the natural ceiling that sits on some companies, isn't there? Like, Citroën, a very expensive Citroën wouldn't fly. So they're sort of trying to find a way of selling you a more expensive Citroën without you going, I'm not paying that much for a Citroën.
But you're not just
same
think
with
it would...
Hyundai and Genesis. And so, because there's more profit in more expensive cars. I know it's a bleeding obvious thing to say, but it's you know, making a tin box isn't that expensive. It costs the same pretty much for, I don't know, an i30 as it does for, a bigger Genesis. Because it's just a tin box, really, isn't it? And then your tech and stuff adds to it, but it's like but the amount of extra you can charge, it's that thing that
I know what you mean.
At one point the Range Rover Spalt was the single most profitable car in the whole of the Ford empire.
Was it really?
Because they could sell it for more than the Discovery on which it was based, which gave it some economies of scale. And then, because it was quite new at that point, a novelty, and people went, ooh, a slightly smaller, sportier Range Rover. It had, you know, it was quite a hot property. And people were piling in and buying the, you know, whatever the top model was called at that point, which is where all the lovely profits sat. And so, yeah, per unit, it was bringing in more than even sort of high-spec F-150s, which are famously quite profitable.
Yeah,
cars,
they were.
You know, everything is kind of anchored around it being a work truck. But then if you can sell it in Lariat trim for twice what a base model costs, that's a lot of profit for a bit of leather and some dark wood and shit. Dark wood and shit. I don't think that was in the adverts, but that's essentially what they were
It's not dark wood that's made from repurposed looked old shit. No, okay.
I mean, you can sort of see what they're trying to do, but unfortunately it's a hard trick to pull off.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have bet against Genesis because Hyundai's got a lot of money and a lot of moxie and does, you know, put the effort in. And the cars are pretty decent, you know. They're well made, they seem to be.
They are. No, they are, but absolutely. I just, the sort of thrifty person in me goes, you don't need to spend money on another badge. Just, like, at the moment, we all think that Hyundais are cool. So let's just, and we forget that Citroën used to make some really high-end cars. It comes down to being really clever with your marketing and, like, convincing people maybe it needs a slightly different badge. It's still a Citroën, but it's a Citroën, I don't know, top level whatever, and that's what we should focus on, I think.
Yeah, I suppose this is the problem, isn't it? We've sort of pivoted into a world where the established upmarket names, or upmarket-ish names like Audi and Mercedes, have managed to pull the trick off in the opposite direction, where they've been able to make sort of smaller and cheaper cars and somehow maintain this popular perception that they're posh.
Doesn't wash with me, Richard.
I think the take home here is it's easier to go down than it is to go up.
Well,
in terms of your perceived prestige.
Well, that's the car chat done over for this week.
Well, yes,
Join me next week when I'm talking more about... Oh, no, actually, sorry, stop.
Well, next week we'll be basically in Coventry, but
we will.
No, I've got some more car chat. Yeah, yeah, I've got... Listen, we got to talk about something that I thought has been a lot of chatter in the last week or so. It's the new Dacia Duster, or Dacia.
Yeah.
I suppose we're meant to say.
Dacia, yeah.
Which I saw a picture of it, as usual, you're just kind of not paying attention, and then sort of a picture popped up on it on social media, and I assumed it was a rendering or a concept car because it was one of those shots where it's all loaded with accessories and it was outdoors and in a nice location, and I just thought
it's fake.
Well, that's something that someone's made up.
Yeah,
it can't be any actual Dacia that you're going to be able to buy, and bugger me, you can, or you will be able to, and for less than 20 grand.
For less than 20,000, okay.
Well, that's what they're saying. Yeah, I mean, imagine that's the starting price, and it'll go up into the 20s. But let's be honest, you know, when a basic Golf is 25 grand now, that's still not very expensive in the general scheme of things.
I'm looking forward to this because we know that they win for so many people. I do like their logo is, it looks like DNA, and I don't know if it's supposed to. Is it supposed to?
Oh, maybe.
Their new logo is like a sort of, you know, when you can buy fake Adidas trainers on the black market, which have four stripes rather than three.
Yes.
Well, their front grille and badge looks like someone's nicked the DeLorean DMC, but just a chopped a little bit out of it because it just says DC.
It's confusing as well because what they've done to create their logo is just pick two letters from their name. But it's like, it's not, their name isn't Dacia, is it? It's all one word. It's like when people, you know, people online abbreviate the names of cities and things.
Oh, yes.
By doing the syllables rather than the... So,
yes.
I used to see it a lot in the MG Rover community. They would abbreviate the Longbridge factory to LB, and you go, it's not a long bridge. It's one word. You should just abbreviate it to L. But I suppose, you know, abbreviations take on a life of their own, don't they? Dacia, Dacia's decided it's going to go, yeah, we're DC. That's what we are.
DC. What, like, David Coulthard's going to have words with you about that, because everyone refers to him as DC, and he'll be like, no, I'm the DC, you're not the DC.
It's hard working in F1, isn't it, if your name doesn't naturally lend itself to, because they love that, using people's initials. Don't they? Oh, DC. DC was talking to MB about something, yeah. But you know,
MB, don't they make CH, popular family board games off of the 80s?
Yes, they do. but no, the new Duster, I just thought it's a very nice looking car. I mean, one of the things it does is it looks a lot more expensive than the old one. Because that old Duster, that was what I ended up with as a hire car when my Range Rover brake got sticky and I decided not to risk driving it back from Manchester. And it was a perfectly okay car. It was just kind of, yeah, all right, you know. You could see where they'd saved the money, but not to the point where you felt like it was absolute flimsy cack. It felt quite sturdy. And this new one is now going onto the bang up-to-date platform that the current Sandero is on. And the current Sandero is actually really good. It feels completely modern and proper and not just sort of reheated old Renault shit that they found out the back of the factory. So, you know, I think that it will drive in a very pleasant way and it looks really good,
I think.
It's got
some serious box arches on it.
Yeah, it has, hasn't it?
It's got some beautiful I think
the press photos are all of the four-wheel drive version. And the four-wheel drive one, for various reasons, presumably relating to its ability to go off-road, it sits a bit higher than the two-wheel drive one. It's 8 mil more ground clearance. So I think that's probably... Well, the ones in the press pics look particularly sort of good and rugged is because they're probably sitting higher. I don't know.
Renault Group are doing... You know, the 2024 is bright for Renault Group.
Well, they've got all these...
Got the Renault 5 EV coming, which is just everyone's excited about, myself included.
And then the 4 following that.
Of course, the 4, yeah. I feel like Alpine has sort of taken on a... It's had a second wind over the last... Well, since sort of over COVID almost, where you thought you were worried that they were only going to sell 12 in the UK and then peter out and never revisit it again. But actually, I feel like there's enough... it's probably helped by maybe some people in the press, and I know Monkey Harris set his on fire. But he said it was amazing. And I think Gordon Murray owning one and it being his daily... I've got quite a few photos of my car parked next to Gordon Murray's in the car park of GMA. And I don't mind telling you. I don't mind telling you, Rich. So... I think that's a cool car. I'm hoping to drive the mad one that I still haven't driven yet. Is it the R?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just not driven that yet.
Are you?
Yeah, I'd like to. Yeah. I've got it booked in. I'm having a Type 9 Sierra gearbox fitted to it. So I want to go manual conversion. So
yeah.
Looking for a really tall, slightly sloppy stick. And I thought, yeah, Type 9 seems about right.
One of those ones with the Sierra stick with the that pattern on the top with no... lines between.
Oh, I hate that.
Do you remember?
I hate that.
Yeah, I know. It used to annoy me as well. Just put some lines on. What's wrong with it?
It looks so. It's because it knows how vague it is.
Lazy.
It knows how vague it is. I'm glad you picked up on that because my mate's parents.
Oh, it used to really bug me. I was going to say some more stuff about the new Duster, but I'm sure people have read about this, and if they haven't, they can. You don't come here for car information, but anyway, I think it looks quite nice. And yeah, it's going to start under 20 grand. The current one's 17 and a nudge, and it's going to be a little bit more than that, but still under 20 for the base model. So, they haven't put any pictures out of the base model, but I'm hoping it's on Steely's still, because that always looks nice.
There's a UN spec one round here, white with the steels, and it's also got some panel damage, and it does look really good, I have to say. It's one of those cars which suits panel damage, I think.
Yeah, it sort of does, doesn't it? Full kind of like French rural spec.
Like, it's lived a little.
This car works for a living,
it's lived.
The other thing that I was going to bring up, since we're talking about cars, is the Toyota Land Cruiser 70, the old school Land Cruiser.
Yes.
You know, the sort of proper one, which you've been able to buy in Australia.
Yes. And South Africa, I think.
Yes, and for a while, it was built in Portugal, but you weren't able to buy it in Europe because they made them in Portugal to then ship them across to North Africa. And I think that's now stopped. But they've given it a facelift, and it's gone back on sale in Japan.
Oh.
Which I found interesting.
That's really interesting.
I mean, I suppose you could have brought one from Australia, where it's also right-hand drive. But it's now officially back on sale. They've facelifted it and given it a sort of taller bonnet and some fancier headlights, so that they're still the trad round within the grille sort of affair. The whole front of it, to me, I'll put a picture of this in the Patreon, the whole front of it looks to me like, you know those Funkos? Those little... I don't know what you call them, figurines that kids seem to like of, like, you know, BTS or...
What, like a wobble head?
I don't know.
Like a big head?
No, they have... I was in a toy shop the other day with my kids and they have a wall of them. I noticed they've got a Lewis Hamilton one. And in fact, I do own a couple of Funkos because they make Pet Shop Boys Funkos and I thought they were quite good. So I've got a couple of those.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
They're these little figurines, and they kind of exaggerate the, you know, they're, so they're very short, but then they're quite wide. Everyone's got a very wide head.
Oh, gosh. And right, okay.
Look at the front of the latest Land Cruiser 70, and it's a Funko.
It's got a Funko face.
But it's also, they've done this a few years ago, I think, when they decided to put a V8, because in Australia you get it with a V8 diesel. And when they did that, they had to modify the front end and bring the front track out, but they didn't do the same to the rear. And so once you sort of notice it, you can't unnotice that it's got a distractingly mismatched track front to rear.
But it must still drive well. Does it just look a bit... Is it? Oh, I know, well, hang cool, on, right? Track-wise. So is it like one of those, I'm trying to think, is it like a bulldog? Got a very wide front track.
Yes.
Very, very narrow. Yes. So it's like a Citroen DS. It tapers at the rear.
Yeah, I was going to say, because the DS is, or a CX is a bit like that as well. Yeah. Citroen used to love a wider front track than rear, didn't they?
But there we are. We're talking about premium Citroen. So.
Oh, there we go. Yes.
You know, like the DS is still thought to be one of the most elegant cars. Nobody ever says, "Oh, it's a shame it was mass produced because that means it's affordable." It's a glorious car, and Citroën could make a car like that. I think, I know lots of people frown at retro isms, but I think if Citroën was to bring back the DS with a proper retro and do it really well. And it could have the chevrons on it, but it could have no Citroën words on it, like what Folds did in the 70s, where they just had the word Ford, but no blue oval, I think. They went the other way. Or was it... Is that right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, with the Mark III Cortinas and stuff to make them a bit more American.
Yeah, they did try that for a while, yeah.
I think Citroën could do that with, like, the DS. They could do that with the CX. They could even do it with the SM if they were completely bonkers, crack smoke crazy. But, I just thought I'd mention it, Rich, that's all.
Well, we've talked about this before, but it's now sort of classic Euro car companies are mining heritage as much as they can because it's all they've got to differentiate themselves from the sort of the new boys coming out of China primarily. It's like, you know, if you're some new Chinese startup car company, you can make a very convincing EV with all the tech on it and it'll look sort of generically pleasant.
Yeah.
But you can't go back and go, hey, you know those cars we made in the 60s that you kind of think are cool? Well, look, it looks a bit like that. And that's what, you know, Renault is doing, for example, with bringing back the Renault 4.
Yeah, but you know,
and the 5.
And the 5, but I think that's what they're good at. And I think we all will go, as long as the drivetrain isn't complete dog's mud, we'll go, this is great. It's pleasantly nostalgic, but it works in the 21st century. Cool, I'm on board.
Oh, hey, just
talk to me.
Stop talking about cars. First of all, I wanted to say hi to a lady called Becca from the Passenger Seat podcast, who I met last week at the RAC Historic Awards, where I successfully didn't win the award for outstanding journalism. So
I thought you successfully got drunk. I thought that's what you were going to say.
I did successfully get drunk. I successfully got drunk and then successfully couldn't find my way back to my hotel, even though it was only 5 minutes down the road.
Oh, you complete stroker.
Walked around. Well, because it was in the middle of London and I was like, I've lived in London for 20 years. I know my way around. And I just set off in the wrong direction like an absolute sleeve. So that was good. Carrying under my arm the certificate they gave me to say that I got nominated. But
well done.
I'm going to put next to another certificate I have to say that I was nominated for a BAFTA but didn't win it. So on my wall of success.
Hey, take that success and run with it.
No, it was really nice to be. There are only three people.
We
in the
really ought to self-nominate this podcast at some point, shouldn't we?
Yeah, my wife keeps saying that, and
I just can't
because I
I'm
didn't self-nominate
busy.
for this award. I a lot of awards people don't realise you have to put yourself forward.
I don't like that. I don't like having to put yourself forward.
Like that
if someone thinks that we're worthy, feel free to put us forward.
But I mean,
yeah. Anyway, I was at these awards, getting a bit drunk and chatting shit to. I was hanging out with Ed China. He was there. Sweet,
large guy. And,
my great mate TV's Richard Hammond was there, and so I had a good catch up with him. But then, Becca came over and said hello and said she was listening to the podcast, and she has a podcast called Passenger Seat, which is always recorded in her Morris Minor, which she'd driven to London in.
Oh, wow.
With her dad, and parked outside the RAC Club, which I thought was quite cool.
That is really cool. Fair play. That's brave.
Historic Grand Prix cars and stuff all littered about the place. And then she's like, oh, coming down my Morris Minor, I'm going to park it on the street outside. So, yes, hello, Becca. And
thanks, Becca.
I had something else to say about those awards, and I can't remember what it was now. Oh, yeah, no.
What, that you drank...
I got a drinking injury.
A litre of Dubonnet.
I got a drinking injury, but not from the awards, from the then the next... When was that?
What did
Whenever
you
the
do?
Awards were. Well, the following weekend, I went to a dinner party just down the road. With some mates, and I wasn't like mad drinking because we're all middle aged and everyone wanted to go to bed by midnight. So I was like, I just walked home, and the babysitter had been looking after our kids, so it's sorted all that out. And then I was like, I'll let the dog out, go to bed. Dog came back in. I have a bit of a thing with my dog sometimes when she looks really sad before bedtime, and so I give her a big scruffle to make her know that she's loved.
Oh, is this when you're a bit pissed and you think, oh, go on then. Go on.
Yeah, so long story short, I gave the dog a massive scruffle. In the course of doing it, I cracked my head on the worktop. On the side of the kitchen worktop.
No, no.
Because I was going, and I just kind of turned my head too quickly and just glancing blow to the side, like to my eyebrow against the side of the worktop. At the time, I was just like, ow, that hurt a bit. And I went, fuck! Slightly too loudly, and I thought, oh, God, I hope I haven't woken the kids. Bear in mind, my wife is away. This is the other contextual thing that needs to be said. My wife is away, which... So I was holding the fort alone, and I was like, oh, that hurt a bit. No, that's it. No blood. Okay. It didn't really hurt that much. Okay. And then I just went to bed. And maybe under reflection, I should have put some ice on it, because now I've got a fucking massive black eye.
Yeah, absolutely. Bloody hell.
But I didn't hit my eye. I hit just above my eye. And that had a little bit of a lump the next day. And then my eye started going purple. And we're now, this was days ago. And I've got a real kind of, it looks like I'm wearing very elaborate mascara. All from scruffling the dog. I said this to my wife because she's in America. And she went, don't blame the dog.
I told you about the time that I accidentally knocked myself out running back into the house to get something when I'd already started the car on the drive.
What?
Did I tell you about that? It was ages ago now. Okay, so listen, guys, look, picture the scene.
Look,
I've gone outside and I've started the car up, and I don't leave it for like 10 minutes or anything, daft, but I usually start it and leave it for a minute or so whilst setting my sat nav and plugging my USBs and all that jizz. Well, I realised I'd forgotten to bring my USB phone charger. So I started it, and I think it was the Dodge, actually. I think it was a summer job, and I was feeling brave. I was like, oh, I'll take the Dodge. Mm. And I went, I was running late already, so I thought, oh, shit. I ran back, unlocked the house while the car was idling, ran back into the house, and I'd been listening to, I think it was Iron Maiden, prior to that anyway. So I decided, I'm sure I've told you this before, but maybe it wasn't on a recording. I sprinted back through the house. And as I ran over the threshold from the hall into the spare room where I keep like chargers and stuff, I did an 80s metal jump. Like Bruce Dickinson would, like off of a Marshall stack. But the problem was I hadn't factored how high I'd leapt. I completely twatted my head on the door frame. And then I blacked out, I came to on the floor.
Oh my God.
I came to on the floor. I'd hit myself so hard I'd just gone down and out. And then I don't know how long I was out for. I don't think it was very long at all. But I sort of came to and I could hear the Dodge. I was thinking, someone's taking the Dodge. And then I woke up and went, what the fuck's just happened? I was like, oh, yeah, I went in to get my phone charger and I've just knocked myself out doing an 80s metal jump through the threshold. So,
oh, man, you have not told me that story before. I think I'd remember if you had.
Oh, well.
Because that's I said to somebody else about my black eye, because my wife went, well, because I don't understand it. Why have I got a black eye? I didn't even hit my eye. She went, well, you know, there's lots of really fine blood vessels there. And then I went to see the physio because my knee's buggered again. And I said to him, excuse my black eye, and sort of explained to him the embarrassing way I got it. And he went, oh, yeah, there's lots of small blood vessels there. And he's like, I was like, I know. My wife said that. And he went, but, you know, seriously, if you start to feel lightheaded or anything like that, you get headaches, you should go and get that checked out. And I was like, mate, it was just a glancing blow. I don't know why I look like this. But going to the hospital and going, yeah, I'm getting headaches and lightheadedness from scruffling my dog's head a few days ago, it would be almost as embarrassing as going, I did an 80s metal jump and was it the door frame? Did you hit your head on the door frame?
Yeah, completely. And I hit it. I was traveling through the door aperture at quite a pace. And I was actually, do you know what it was? I was actually really excited. It had been a lovely morning and, you know, it was going to be a fun day. But it went from being fun to being like almost thought I died really quickly.
Unconscious on the floor.
Honestly.
Because also, just to clarify, 80s metal jump, you have to get your lower legs sort of...
my lower leg. An angle, don't you? What do you mean my lower leg?
You know what I mean? Below the knee. Well, how am I trying to say this? I'm not expressing it very well, but you have to bend your knees quite aggressively, don't you, to sort of... So you're fully off the ground and your knees have to... You almost have to like try and kick yourself in the arse with one leg.
Yes, I've got one... Yeah, completely.
Mm.
Yeah. So,
but at that point, one thing Bruce Dickinson never had to deal with was his spare room doorway being on stage at the time.
Honestly, I felt so stupid, but luckily nobody knew... So it was
just... Well, it's okay. No one's listening to this apart from thousands of people.
My mum and dad listen now and again. And
they'll worry.
Yeah.
Johnny, they'll worry.
Yeah, I'm also really... You're
looking after yourself.
Do you know all... I was running late, like I said. So all I did, I looked down, checked for signs of urine, and went, nope, I haven't pissed myself. Brilliant. And dusted myself off and got straight back in the car. But I did... I turned up at the shoot with a throbbing head. I had such a headache.
Not surprised.
So I had to go hard on the sweet coffee and painkillers for the first part of the day.
Was this when you'd shaved your head or before that?
Before. This was quite a while ago.
So you concealed any
gash.
Skull damage.
Yes, I concealed the gash. Absolutely I did, yes.
Being on camera with a very obvious head wound.
Oh, honestly,
it's not a brilliant look.
No, it's really not actually.
But also, that your hair probably cushioned a little bit of the blow.
I think it did, but I mean, there was a time which some of us may remember.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
In the early days of my TV career, I had a lot of hair and it was black. It was also spiky. We know this. But that's okay because I think it made me, in the words of a producer, distinctive. So I'm okay with that.
Is that being damned with faint praise?
I don't know. It might have been, you look like a complete fool. I'm not sure.
That's quite a good way to be... euphemistic, isn't it? Oh, what do you think of these new trousers? Well, they're distinctive.
They are very distinctive trousers.
Trousers.
I know what I was going to say. Dangerously, it's car-related again. I'm really sorry about this, listeners. The Aura Funky Cat's not called the Funky Cat anymore.
I saw.
Did you? But did
now?
But I actually can't remember because I didn't write it down.
I was going to say, I hope you know. Isn't it something like the GWM03 or something?
It's got a really
washing machine-y kind of name. And you go...
It's like a Russian has rebadged it and gone, no, we need your serial numbers here. Come on.
I'm going to type this now. I'm going to apologise as I type it to my friend Phil, who says that he listens to the podcast while he's riding his bike. And whenever I type, it gets picked up on the mic. And it sounds like something's tapping against the frame of his bike, and he always looks down and then realises it's just us doing on-air searching. So, yeah, it's called the GWM Aura 03 now.
Is that all it is?
And it's sort of, I mean, I know Funky Cat was a bit of a silly name, but at least it was distinctive and it stood out. But
yeah,
maybe the feedback was that people were embarrassed to tell anyone that they'd got a Funky Cat because it sounds a bit too... zany. I don't know. Anyway, it's
zany.
Oh my god. Now Autocar, your subs have had fun here. Their review of the Funky Cat,
yeah,
the stand first reads, distinctive Chinese EV jumps into the UK's family market but fails to land on its feet. Good cat reference, nice. But unfortunately, the online version of the review, they've updated it to reflect the car's new name. So it now says GWM Aura 03 review, but it still says fails to land on its feet and the gag doesn't work because there's no cat in the title anymore. Ah, that's annoying.
It's just not as good as it was. But, you know, I there's a lot to like about that car. I think it was probably always too expensive. I think that it needed to be keenly priced in order to break the market. But I don't want to talk about too much car stuff because I feel like we're cheapening it. So we could talk about the Great British Bake Off. I watched that the other night and I was spectacularly late. Do you know what I did? I did what you did recording this podcast this morning, where you had loads of time to kill and then actually ended up being late because you sort of dithered. And we all do it. I'm not just pointing the finger at you because I do it. And I'm sure some listeners.
I wonder
do.
If there's like one of those huge German words for what happens here, where you have just a bit of time to kill and you feel like it's not enough time to do anything productive. So you faff and then suddenly realise that you're late.
Well,
because it wasn't urgent enough what you next had to do.
Well, picture this scene, which this story's not interesting, but I'm telling it to you anyway because this is my podcast. So screw you guys.
Don't oversell stuff.
I decided to watch the British Bake Off final because, as we know, Aston Martin enthusiast and motorcycle fanatic Paul Hollywood is on it, and I thought it'd be nice to see his sleeves being rolled up and his laser eyes picking out the finalist. And I was having dinner anyway, and I watched that, and I kept looking at the clock, going, "I have to go to the supermarket tonight because I don't have any food." You know, I was eating the last of the food and the next night...
I don't want to have to open my can of Nigel Mansell soup.
No, I don't want to ruin that. And I know it's like tomorrow night, I haven't got any time. The kids are going to need feeding immediately. I've got to have food in the cupboards that isn't signed by Nigel. So, but I wasn't banking on watching the final of the Bake Off. So I strung it out.
But wait, have you watched any of this series of Bake Off?
I've watched two episodes. I do like the British Bake Off.
Oh, okay, so you're slightly invested in this. But
yeah, no, I do like the British.
Just suddenly decide.
Yeah, I'm not interested in MasterChef. No offence, Greg Wallace. But I'm just not. I'm not interested in MasterChef. I'm interested in Bake Off. I think it's really love, kind of fluffy, homemaking TV. So I was watching it and I realised I looked at the clock and was going, What time does Morrison's close? Is it 9 or 10? Because if it's 9, I've really screwed that one up, haven't I? And then I was looking at the British Bake Off going, it's going to end in about 10 minutes. Anyway, at the time, I was testing, let's just say I was testing a really interesting K vehicle. JDM K vehicle.
Oh, I
so
yes.
I got in the K vehicle, looking at the clock, going, okay, I've got like 40 minutes before the whole shop shuts, and it's 10 minutes to get there. I'm going to be on the clock a bit for this one. Let's just do it. But this is my favourite time to go supermarket shopping. Sped over there as one can with 660 cc's, and got in the shop with my bags for life, which didn't have shit in, and just started going up and down the aisles of, as fast as possible. But here's the thing. Midway through, and I was dithering at this point because I couldn't exactly find what I needed, the security guard walked past. He craned his head back and he went, sir, you know we're closing very soon, don't you? And I went, yeah, no problem. And then I carried on. I was probably halfway through the shop when he said that, as in my shopping list. Well, I got a bit further on and he found me. I realised I was the only person in the shop. He found me and he went, we're all ready to go home, sir. You should have already started paying for all of that. Do you know? And I went and I looked at my watch, which is my little gold Timex Pac-Man edition. And I went, I said, you close at 10, don't you? And he went, yeah, we close at 10. And I went, but it's... I said, well, I've got about 10 minutes. And he went, no, it's 1 minute past 10. And I went, what? And I got my phone out of my pocket and my wristwatch was the wrong time. And I basically, I had to do the walk of shame through back to the checkouts, and all the staff were just stood there basically going, we hate you, we hate you, we absolutely hate you. You're a prick and we should have left by now. And they had to reopen one of the tills. They had to chaperone me around all the security barriers that they'd put down. Honestly, it was extremely embarrassing, and I want to apologise to everybody in the shop. I did say to the security guard, he didn't care, as he was walking away, I went, I'm really sorry, my watch is telling the wrong time. I actually said that.
And also, I was watching Bake Off.
Yeah, also, I didn't pull my finger out, and I'm a complete flute. But anyway, so... So that's that. And then I realised that the vehicle I was in actually genuinely didn't have enough space to put all the bags in. So I had to sort of drive home with a big bag on my lap, which is quite hard on a manual car.
The downside of the K car, this is why they don't bring them over here, is because you can't...
Well, this particular one doesn't have a boot. But anyway, so...
I'm looking forward to seeing you reviewing that K car because I think it's interesting. In its own
Do you know what? It's a damn cool device. It's coming up on something called the Late Break Show soon.
Excellent. Speaking of telly, I thought we should just acknowledge, last week I was ranting on about Top Gear, and then this week we probably should just mention the news about the Grand Tour that's been in various papers and online outlets and stuff, which has been a bit weird because it sort of just suddenly exploded and, you know, the headlines are all, that's it, Jeremy, Richard and James are quitting the show and stuff. And it was sort of couched in slightly dramatic terms that it's a bit... I still do bits and pieces for the Grand Tour, and so I sort of feel quite close to this. And the... well, the truth is that all those stories that have sort of been run have... radiated from the Sun's coverage of the whole thing, which is pretty much accurate. The only thing that I think people have missed is the way that TV commissioning works, which is, you know, shows tend to be sort of commissioned for a set amount of series or episodes or whatever. And the Grand Tour was originally three series, which was the ones with the tent as a studio, and it was sort of more like the old Top Gear format. And when that commission came to an end, Amazon went, we'd like some more, please. And the presenters went, well, we're quite old and tired and we probably haven't got the energy to do 10, 12 shows a year. Can we just do a couple of feature-length specials every year? And Amazon went, yeah, that would be great. And so they were commissioned to do that for 3 years. But then COVID came along and interrupted things. And so they did the UK-based, what did they do? Lockdown was one of them. And the other one was called Carnage à Trois. And because those weren't sort of epic road trips abroad, they sat outside the original commission and Amazon paid for them separately. So they still had to fulfil an obligation, and that obligation inevitably comes to an end. So when that happens, the presenters have kind of gone, yeah, well, you know, we're even more old and tired than we were before. So that's sort of the story, really. It's odd because it's suddenly become news, and it's, you know.
So you, is it like
the show? We're sort of aware of what's going on. And
is it like a narrowboat having a very slow collision and coming to a stop? You knew it was happening quite a while back.
Well, there's quite a lot of Grand Tour still to come because the next one won't air until next year. And then there's going to be some other Grand Tour-y stuff, and then there'll be another one sort of much later in the year. So it'll feel like there's still Grand Tour going on all through 2024, pretty much, with Jeremy, Richard and James. So this has been sort of just, this has come, you know, has hit the news, but it's not like it all dead stops now.
No.
And they've just announced that Jeremy's got a fourth series of his farm show coming as well. So it's, I think...
The farm show with Jeremy.
Yeah, and James has got stuff going on, you know, and Richard's doing his Hammond's workshop on wherever that's on now. I can't remember. Discovery.
Well, let me tell you what Hammond's
they're
doing.
They're all doing stuff.
Hammond's opening a classic car museum in the town I come from, in Taunton. He did it last week.
Was that in Taunton?
Yes, in Taunton, on the High Street.
Yeah.
It used to be county stores where I was allowed to go sometimes with my grandma, and I'd get a really nice Rocky Road slice. Oh.
Oh, I love a Rocky Road.
And they used to grind their own coffee beans before it was a thing. They used to roast their own beans in-house. They had a roaster. So the whole place used to smell so amazing, even though I didn't really know what coffee was because I was very young. And we'd drive there in the Allegro.
Nice.
And now it's a classic car museum, which does have an Avenger Tiger in it. I don't know why I'm telling you all
does
this.
It
does. That one of the cars on display is an Avenger Tiger, and I think it's a Somerset registered car. So if that when people steal stuff from museums, and it is a bit naughty.
Do they?
If that Avenger Tiger goes missing, it's not me. Just so you know.
Okay. Yeah.
Just like Shaggy.
Perfect crime.
Imagine if Shaggy had
done
it.
Yeah, it wasn't me. We saw you on CCTV,
yeah,
Johnny,
doing definitely
it.
You.
No, it wasn't me.
No, that wasn't me. Those are the words that I told you.
Just not to go back to cars, but in a way, actually, to go back to cars. We had quite a few messages about Land Rover Defender side boxes after you brought them up last week.
Do we call them a hard pan, yeah? Do we call them a... Do we?
Yes, I suppose we could call them that. I don't know. Well, so quite a few people who've got Defenders were sharing what they put in them. Craig Winter is one of the listeners who did that. He sent a picture of his Defender 110.
Oh, cool.
With the side box open and a how many bottles? There's more than it. It's 7 bottles of wine in it.
Really?
Behind a net. But he says, I use mine for all my lashing straps and tie downs. They do come in handy on camping trips. Also, on the vertical, they don't really stick out, even if they do create a nice blind spot in certain situations. So that was Craig's take on
it. I like the lash down. The lash down idea is a great idea. I like that.
Mike Robbins says, I have a Defender with the silver side pod. It's great for muddy boots. It gets used for this a fair bit. It's also a great place to put 3 bottles of champagne. Keeps them nice and chilled for when you get to your picnic rug bedecked destination.
See, I'm pretty sure that one of the serving suggestions that Land Rover offered was the muddy boot thing. I'm pretty sure.
Yes. I have to say, Mike also says, I have the roof rack and side ladder fitted. These get used less often, creating constant wind noise and crippling fuel consumption.
Well, at least he's honest. At least he's honest.
I've got another... we've got quite a few of these. Adrian McGrillan, his dad has a Defender with the side boxes, or lunchbox, as his dad calls it.
Lunchbox.
He says, my dad uses his to store his bag for life for the grocery shop.
Oh, okay.
Which is an... Yeah, interesting.
Do you know what? I am genuinely interested in this because I feared that it was just one of those things you tick the option box for and then you just look at it and go, I'm still not sure what really should live in there. So, you know those rucksacks with a see-through Perspex orb on the back of them that people in Japan walk around with cats in them.
I
was going to suggest that you put Jet Russell's. can you imagine?
Well, yeah,
imagine on the motorway,
dogs. Well, but if you put the orb on the forward-facing bit, because dogs, you know, love to put their head out of car windows, but it's not actually very good for their eyes.
Yes.
But if the dog could see where you're going, I don't know if that would be exciting or frightening for the dog, if it just sort of feels like it's being hurled down the road.
Well, I think Jack Russells don't know fear or danger. So can you imagine? This could be the LR dog orb could be incredible.
The LR dog. Yes. Well, good news. The last message I want to read out about this is from an actual Land Rover engineer who works on the Defender.
Oh, wow.
Won't give his name because he is still a member of the project team for the Defender. But hopefully he's listening and will take on board your dog orb suggestion. he wanted to just set us straight on a couple of things. First of all, he says they should only be fitted to one side of the car, not both.
Okay. Intentionally asymmetric.
It's right. That's how you see them, but I think we can pick up on that because we're idiots. He also says there is a drain plug. You probably can't fit many pairs of walking boots in. You might get some Wellingtons in. As you mentioned, it sits within the silhouette lines of the body, i.e. within the mirrors.
Okay.
When the product was developed, it was made deliberately to be ambiguous for its purpose, with the idea that customers would use it for anything they saw fit, be it carrying tools, wetsuits, outdoor equipment, camping and leisure items, etc. If it was offered with a specific purpose, it may have detracted from people buying it.
Oh, so they have to keep it open-ended.
Keep it vague and you decide what you're going to use it for, rather than Land Rover sort of telling you that. So that's interesting. I thought that was the most interesting point that was made by our anonymous source here. But he says that, or could be a she. Not saying it's a bloke. From anecdotal evidence I have from asking people what they use them for when I see them out and about, they're often used for winching and towing equipment such as gloves and straps, first aid kits for those working outside, maybe a tyre pump here and there. I've also seen them turned into mini bars for use at horse events.
So. I love it. 1 minute on the one side, first aid, very important, yes. On the other side, let's all get pissed in a field. Yes.
Get wankered.
Well, I really appreciate that. Anyway, that's genuine.
That's
info.
Good. So thank you to everyone. I'll stop reading these out now because we've had quite a few of these. But it generally seems to be a little bit of a booze theme with some of them. But
ruddy-faced Land Rover and drivers.
We should start to wrap this up, but I just want to read out another message from one of our patrons, a chap called Stan, who's a former automotive engineer and a British expat living in the US, primarily Michigan and latterly Florida. He's also, like me, married to an American. Stan says, over the course of the last several months, I've been working my way through your podcast back catalogue during my daily commute and also during longer weekend trips with my spouse.
Oh, I'm so
She's
sorry.
Warmed to your podcast. I love that she warmed to it. I don't like it, but I just warmed to it. He says, oddly enough, she hates pretty much everything else I try to listen to. In any event, she was in Michigan last weekend visiting her brother and his family. Her brother mentioned in passing that a friend of his works for Stellantis and was about to be made redundant. Instead of expressing sympathy for this guy's plight, my wife instinctively and immediately responded with to which her brother responded, "What the fuck is wrong with you?" There followed an awkward pause, followed by a long explanation of the origins of the Stellantis Euroboots. Stan, thank you so much for that. That made my day when I read
that's brilliant.
That's absolutely fantastic.
I've just got this.
The terrible way in which we've seeped into an innocent bystander's brain.
I love that. Well, I don't love the fact that somebody's losing their job, but then quickly followed by
no,
by
but
beatbox.
The social awkwardness of instinctively going... Speaking of which, this Thursday we are at Stellantis headquarters in Coventry for a live show. So looking forward to seeing everyone there. And
I can't wait.
You'll hear the results next Monday. But In the meantime, we should bring this one into land.
Well, we got to, because before we go, we've got to try and be funny at that event, and I'm feeling the pressure.
I know,
of that.
Yeah. Let's we'll give it our best shot. Yeah. before we go,
I might jump through a doorway and knock myself out.
Yes, why don't you just? I'll tell you what. I'll message Stellantis after this and ask them how high the ceiling is in the room, and if you can successfully. Also, is there a work surface? Because I can bring my dog and then I'll just headbutt it whilst attempting to say goodnight to you.
So what are you...
What a pair of absolute punks we are.
I was going to say, what a fleshy panya you are.
With optional dog or... Right, anyway, let's wrap this up. But before we go, I've three things to tell you. They are, one, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel. It's called The Lacey Brace Show, in which he goes to modified car shows and puts delicate fabric between strut towers. This week he's at a Fast Forward event, sliding an anti-macassar into the engine bay of a Fiesta ST. If that's not your taste, there's always The Late Brake Show. Lots of excellent videos on there. What have we got coming up?
Sorry, that really tickled me. Lacey anti-macassar strut brace.
Sorry. It's the second time I've mentioned anti-macassars in the past month or so. Anyway, go on. Sorry.
Okay, so the latest off of the Late Brake Show. I think this is right up Smith and Stiff listeners' streets. Is brand new recreation of the Lancia 037 rally Ooh. Car made by the people in off of the Netherlands called Maturo. Competition cars, MCC, and I got to drive it. In fact, I'm the only person to have driven it apart from the owner, who is a wealthy chap in Mexico, and it now lives in Mexico because it was being flown there about a day after I drove it. So it was really good. I got to drive it on the street because I am not a rally helmsman, and I did find basically a Dutch bridle path, which I went down as well. So really exciting, and you get a little tour of how they have put these cars together better than Lancia did in the 80s, which frankly wouldn't have been difficult, but I don't want to be down on Lancia, but let's just say the quality of the welding was pitiful.
Pitiful. Look at this welding, it's pitiful.
Well, the guys have got an original one there, and they scanned it. And
oh, really?
And yeah,
shocking.
Yeah, but this car, it's a recreation, but it uses the original drivetrain, as in it's still that same mad what is it, volume X supercharger, isn't it? So it's got a really strange almost turbine engine sound.
Ah, interesting.
So there we go. Go and watch it, or I'll come round and I'll poo on your doorstep.
Interesting sales technique, but, you know, give it a try. Second thing I've got to tell you is I have a new book out. It's called Boring Car Trivia 4. Lots of stuff in there for people who like arcane information about cars. If you've ever wondered about the tortured genesis of the Metro design, then it's all there.
It's all there. Long,
talking
swollen
of people
paws.
Who are shit at promoting stuff. Yes, I don't know what else to say. Just buy the book, please. It's available as a paperback or an ebook from Amazon. We'll also have it in our merch shop very shortly, and we'll be selling them at the live show if you want to pick one up there and then ask me to write something stupid in the front. And the third thing I've got to tell you is that we're all familiar with the U2 album, The Joshua Tree, one of their seminal albums. The track sequencing on that album was done by Kirsty MacColl.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Kirsty MacColl, as in Kirsty MacColl. They were really struggling with it, apparently. And Kirsty MacColl, of course, was married to Steve Lillywhite, who was doing some of the producing on that album. And they were running out of time to commit to the track order, and they couldn't quite get it to work, and she went, oh, come here, give me a go, and she sorted it out for them.
That's fantastic.
Hmm.
Wow, bless her. Yeah. And she's no longer with us. But she does a fine Christmas song, as we now know.
Yes, she does. Yeah. All right, well, that's that for this. Looking forward to seeing some people on Thursday, and then we'll show our homework of what we get up to at Stellantis on Monday next week. Until then, thank you ever so much for listening. Goodbye.
Bye now. Thanks, mate. Cheers, mate. Thanks, mate. Bye.
You know just what to do. Like and subscribe and review.
You know just what to do. Like and subscribe and review. You know just what to do.
And then it will go the size of an elephant's foot for the rest of the week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.